And we know that all things, thank you for standing. We know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things work together. It didn't mean everything's going to be perfect every time out. Everything out. Shall we pray then? I'm going to just talk to you. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, this morning we've come into this sanctuary, Father, because, Father, you are God, oh, Heavenly Father, and besides you, there is no other God, oh, Heavenly Father. It is your angels who woke us this morning, Father, from our sleep. It is your angels who allowed us to get up out of bed this morning, Father. It is by your love, Father, your grace, and your mercy that we're coming to this sanctuary this morning, Father. Father, we don't always understand how things are going to work, Father. Father, we don't understand when the storms are going to come, Father. But we do know one thing, Father, that you said, lo, you are with us always, Father. Father, I ask you today to take this word, Father, and use it for your purpose, Father, that you would receive all praise and glory. Glory and honor today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I want to look, first of all, before I give you a title, at an interesting story that takes place in the Bible. I want to look at Acts chapter 26. Here is Paul, who started out as Saul. This is one of the most interesting stories you can come to. Here is Paul having an interesting discussion with King Agrippa. King Agrippa. Now, Paul has found himself in prison before Festus. Now he is before King Agrippa pleading his case. What he is really doing is using his testimony from the beginning to get to a point. He opens in verse 6 and says, now I stand and have judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers in verse 6. He finds himself giving a testimony of how his life has changed once he encountered Jesus Christ. But I really want to focus on one verse. After Paul lays out Jesus Christ, Paul lays out how his life came to change. He is witnesses to King Agrippa. And in verse 3, Agrippa comes to a conclusion, and King Agrippa, believeth thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Paul is now witnessing to King Agrippa. Then Agrippa saith unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost, Paul, you almost got me to believe in God. Let me help you out this morning, because sometimes we struggle in our walk with God. One of the things you have to understand in your walk with God, just because you're unsuccessful does not mean you're a failure. I'm trying to talk this morning about a difference between in a situation being unsuccessful versus being a failure. Let me help you out and understand something. I don't know about you. Can I have a title? Here's the title of my message tonight. Who am I? Who am I? If you ever lived in this life any length of time and tried to do something for God, you find yourself sometime laying awake at night in the dark with your eyes open, looking around, trying to figure out, who am I? See, understand something. When things are going well, we don't pose, who am I? It's when we come to a moment when we're unsuccessful, we're laying there saying, who am I? Am I? I am now questioning who I am. You know, I sit around in my office a lot of times and listen to my patients. A lot of times you hear them say, I'm a hard patient. I'm a heart patient. Well, I'm a diabetic. Okay? Understand what I'm trying to say. Oh, I'm a kidney patient. I'm on dialysis. And a lot of times, I try and untie what they just tied together. Let me help you understand something today. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm a sinner saved by grace? We've heard that over and over again. But I'm here today to tell you, I want you to take a different look at it today. The diabetic who says, I am a diabetic, they've got it all wrong. They need to understand, I am somebody. Just because I got a disease will not define me. Just because I got a heart problem, I'm not going to let it define who I am. Understand something. Just because you are unsuccessful should not define who you are. Romans say in 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it did not say you are a sinner. Yeah, I am somebody who happened to have sinned, who got saved by the grace of God. See, first of all, we got to back this train up and understand who we really are. I'm trying to help you today. You got to begin to understand and never change and understand who you are. Paul stands here. He almost wins King Agrippa. But here in this moment, he's unsuccessful. Paul could have looked around and said, well, I'm just a failure. I just couldn't win him. He could have thrown his arms up and given up. But we know Paul wrote most of the New Testament. I'm here today to tell you, you cannot let one moment in time define the rest of your life. You're going to have to get up. The Bible says a good man falleth 7 times. That tells me each time he fell, he got back up. I'm telling somebody today, you got to get back up one more time. I'm trying to help somebody here. I'm trying to help you understand something this morning. When you are trying to live for God to the best of your ability, there are going to come moments in this battle that you are unsuccessful. But that does not define you as a failure. That does not mean you cannot win the next time you get up, dust yourself off, and say, you know what? I'm going to try one more time. One more time. The alcoholic says, why do you drink? I'm just an alcoholic. Why am I a sinner? I'm just a sinner. No, you are not just a sinner. You have to go back to the book to understand who you really are. First of all, in Genesis, God said, let us make man in our own image. Understand something. You were created for this day and this time and this moment by God Almighty. Listen, I'm going to try and prove this to you. Go over to Isaiah. I want to go to Isaiah. I want you to begin to understand something. You got to begin to read this book and begin to understand who you are. Look at Isaiah chapter 42. And verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spreadeth forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people unto it, and spirit to them that walk in. I am the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of people, for a light unto the Gentiles. Understand something. God, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Understand something. First thing you're going to need to do is believe that every word in this book is true. If God said it, it's true. If God said it, it will come to pass. understand something this morning as we talk about who am I. Look at chapter 43 and verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee. What did he tell Jeremiah? Jeremiah, I knew you in your mother's womb. For you ever showed up, I knew who you were. He says, listen, but thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. God created you. There's a difference interesting here that we know. That it's interesting that he starts out by calling him Jacob, but in the same verse says, O Israel. When I was looking at this is kind of interesting. He said, first of all, he created him. He caused to exist. Form means to chase, to change into a particular form. One of the things I thought about that was, you know, you get in the kitchen. You say, I'm going to make a cake. You put all those ingredients and you mix it together in a bowl. You created it, but you still have not formed the cake. You can take that dough and pour it into whatever mold you want to. When we picture a cake, we picture whether it's got one layer, two layers, or three layers. But to form and take those ingredients involves more work. Understand something. Jacob was Jacob, but along the way he had to change over to become Israel. Let me tell you something. God formed us, but along the way there are some changes that have to begin to take place in us. Understand something. When we started out, we were not the finished product. Understand something. Along the way, there are some things that are going to happen that are going to change us. Let me tell you something. You can learn more about yourself in failure than you can ever learn in victory. Because, you know, when I fall short, you know what it does? It drives us to our knees. It drives us back to God to say, I can't do this by myself. Sometimes when you succeed, you walk around. And the Bible says, pride goeth before a fall. The Bible says, humble thyself under the almighty hand of God. And he will do what? Exalt thee. In due season. Sometime when we fall, what it really does, it just humbles us. It sends us back to look at the situation. Paul found himself there that day with King Agrippa. He laid out the story. Let me tell you something. You sometimes have to get to a point, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. He says, I forget those things are behind me. You know, one of the things we try and do sometimes that we have to work on is yesterday is yesterday. You can't do anything about yesterday. But we seem to drag yesterday like a heavy backpack on my shoulder. I want to bring it into today. I want to bring it with me today. I want to come around. Yesterday, I failed. Let me tell you something. When that starts to play in your mind, that's the devil trying to mind you that yesterday you failed, so you can't be used of God today. But I'm here today to tell you that's wrong thinking. You got to begin to understand something. You were created by God Almighty. That means if he created you, you belong to him. Ezekiel 18:4, what does he say? He says, all souls are mine. That means no matter what happens, you belong to God. If you're a parent and you got children, your children belong to you no matter what they do. Let me tell you, sometimes they do some things that will test your nerves and then some. If you haven't been there yet, you just hold on. But that doesn't mean you don't love them. You loved him no matter what. One moment you want to, oh! But the next minute something happens and you just grab them and hold on to them. And you love them and you love them even more. Because why? Because whatever happened in the first moment, you did not let it change how you felt about them. God loves us the same way. His love for us is not measured on whether or not we are perfect all the time. First of all, let me explain something to you. Ain't none of us perfect. Just a little secret. You just want to know. Ain't none of us perfect. Okay? We ain't going to never be perfect on the face of this earth. Okay? I'm an imperfect human being. So that's the moment thrown line. I'm going to do some imperfect things. But God says, I still love you. I still love you. I still love you. You, every one of us he loves. Every one. So let's look at what happens here now. In Isaiah 43, he says, I created thee, I formed thee. But he said, fear not. For he says, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. You worried about who you are, and he's trying to establish that you are his. I failed a day. I didn't get it all right. I tried to witness, and it just blew up in my face. You know what? If you ever plant crops, you don't get each row right. I hate to tell you that. I'm just trying to tell you, if you live on a farm, you don't always get to grow a row of crops right. You know, you plant corn, you plant cotton, I can tell you, you don't always get it right to a little kid going down that road. But you know something interesting happens? Somehow that corn comes up. And you're like, I don't know how it came up. Because you don't have to be perfect for God to use you. Think about what I'm saying. You don't have to be perfect for him to use you. If that was the case, then we could basically close this book up. Go home. Think about those individuals who were used by God. They were all imperfect. But God says, I'm not interested in your imperfections. I can take your imperfections and make them better. Understand something. He says, listen, you belong to me. But the problem we struggle with is when we fall, it's not God we're struggling with, it's what we think. The Bible says what? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If I think I'm a failure, I'm a failure. Think about what I'm saying. If I start thinking I'm a failure, I'm a failure. So when you don't succeed, you say, well, I'm just a failure. I'm just a failure. You've convinced yourself that you are a failure. Now, the first time the Israelites got ready to go into the promised land, whose fault was it? Think about what I'm about to tell you. Was it the Amalekites' fault? Or was it the Israelites' fault? The Amalekites were the Amalekites. They just giants. But the Israelites looked around and said, themselves, well, we are grasshoppers in their eyes. Well, how they knew what they thought? They had the wrong perspective about who they were. Listen to me. That's where they got in trouble. It wasn't about what God could do. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Listen. You go in your kitchen to get water out of the sink. If you don't turn the handle, ain't no water coming out. It ain't the problem that there's not any water in there. The problem is you didn't turn the handle. Let me help you this morning. Sometimes it's not because God can't do it. It's because we haven't turned the handle of prayer and opened up the faucet and let God flow the water. I don't know what God is. Well, open the faucet up and it'll flow. It'll flow. It'll flow. Go, turn your Bibles. Let's go over to Romans. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. And let's look at something interesting. But it's not the faucet fault. It's not the handle's fault. But if I don't turn it, nothing happens. In Romans chapter 8, I want to look at something interesting. We read verse 28 first. And why did he say, and now we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose? I've established that God created you. Number two, he says, lo, you belong to me. He's established his side of the relationship. Okay? But you're going to have to get up and establish your side of the relationship. Understand something. Living for God is about a relationship. Let me be honest with you. It's about a relationship. If you don't call somebody on the phone for days, weeks, and months, how can you have a relationship? I'm trying to figure it out. You know? If you have a brother, a sister, a parent you haven't talked to in years, is that a relationship? A relationship involves communication, two-way communication. How can you know the will of God if I don't talk to God? I can't. A lot of times in what I do, I come across people and families who haven't talked to each other in years. And let me tell you something. When you're looking at somebody about to take their last breath and somebody hadn't communicated, you're trying to figure out what's the issue. You know what I find out? The issue that somebody got mad about was so irrelevant, so small, that they spent years harboring it. And if they'd have just gone to somebody and asked for forgiveness, it doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong. The relationship is not based upon one incident. Listen what takes place now in Romans chapter 8. Verse 35 says what? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecutions or famine? A nakedness, a pearl, a sword. What they are establishing is nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. John 3:16, we said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That establishes part of this equation. You have to understand. You have to reach a point and say, there's nothing else that can separate me from the love of God. Let's go on and read about it. It says what in verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. We are more than conquerors. What does that mean? To conquer something, there has to be something to conquer. Think about what I'm saying. To conquer has to have a challenge there for you to conquer. Otherwise, it doesn't apply. So what? We're more than conquerors. How are we conquerors? Through him that loved us. I can't do it on my own. I can't get myself to heaven. let me make it simple. You can't even wake yourself up in the morning. Now, if you can't wake yourself in the morning, how are you going to get yourself to heaven? Let me be honest. I'm just being honest with you. When you lay down at night and sleep, the reason you woke up today, because God told his angels to wake you up. You didn't wake yourself up. That alarm clock didn't wake you up. Understand what I'm trying to tell you. And all the one more, but through him. Now, after that, what it says, I am persuaded. What that means, I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things yet to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You got to get to a point where you understand who I am. Oh, can you stand as I come to a close today? You got to understand who you are in Jesus Christ. For I am persuaded. I am persuaded. See, those of you who were here in prayer last night, Pastor McCoy said something interesting. How much of them are going to teach my lesson last night? Well, Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. See, you can boldly approach the Father. You can boldly approach the Father that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. We used to sing that old song, I Need Thee. People hardly sing it anymore. Because you got a world out there that think they don't need God. They don't need God. But I can tell you, I need him every day. I need him every moment. Oh, I'm here today to tell you, church, we need him. We need him. We need him. In this overworld, walk with God. Understand as I close today, you are a child of the Almighty God. You may have fallen short, but I can tell you one thing. The Bible tells us his arm is not shortened. There's nothing that's happened that his grace cannot and mercy cannot cover. Understand something. Understand something as we close. We're going to get ready to have service at 1 o'clock. But you got to understand who the God you serve. You got to understand who you are in this day, in this time, and hour. There's a world out there searching, but I don't want you to search, because if you search the scripture, you'll know who he is. So we pray as we close that God will be with us. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, you are the God beside you. You are the God that said in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. You're the God that came to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord, we belong to you. We come to you, Father, this morning in this service because we want to lift you up, Father. You said if you be lifted up from the earth, you would draw all men unto you, oh, Heavenly Father. Father, there is no other way, Father, but by you, Jesus. You are the way, the truth, and the light, oh Heavenly Father. Now, Lord, as we prepare for the 1 o'clock service, Father, I want us to come back in here with one purpose, Father. Let us leave everything else alone. Let us come to lift up the name of the one true God, Jesus Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, you're dismissed in the name of Jesus.